Here are the headlines. 11 charged in massive billion-dollar pension fraud scandal at Long Island Railroad. Or a conservative Rhode Island think tank claims that thousands of public workers there are making more in retirement than while working. Headlines like those drive a perception that public pensions are way over the top, and coupled with a shortfall estimated at up to $1 trillion in public retirement funds, states are looking ways to make changes in the traditional defined benefit systems in which states manage accounts and workers receive set payouts on retirement. New York's Governor Andrew Cuomo wants to offer new employees the option of a 401k-type program, plans that workers invest in and manage, and payout depends on the markets. Republican legislators in Congress are drafting legislation to address pension plans. We don't know what that will be, but Senator Orrin Hatch has hinted that states should just scrap their current defined benefit plans altogether. But New York State Democratic Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli says, bad idea. He is calling for a national review of pensions, but he says most state plans are sustainable, there are a lot of myths, and defined benefit plans are cheaper in the long run. Comptroller DiNapoli joins us from his office in Albany. Welcome.
Robin, nice to be with you.
What you have, what you say are myths about these defined plans, so let's just get right to it. First of all, the myth that states are underfunded. It sure feels that way in a lot of states like Illinois. They say they're, I think, something like only 43% funded.
And that's certainly an extreme case, and there are other states that are also in trouble. And very often what you find is that these are states that in the good times were not meeting their pension fund obligations. You find many more states that have been willing to pay what they needed to pay to keep the funds in strong shape. Certainly for the New York Fund, we're about 90% funded right now. That certainly is a healthy level of funded status. And as the markets continue to recover, we will get back towards 100%. Certainly we have no problem today in meeting the benefits, no problem with liquidity or how we do our payouts. You know, our fund's been around for 90 years. I believe our fund is sustainable not only for today, but for the future as well.
So you're saying it's not the system, it's that states didn't fulfill their obligation and put into their funds.
Well, very often you found when states had other budget issues or other fiscal challenges, that an easy way out was to skip or reduce the payment that you should put into your pension fund as a way to help with other budget issues. That's too often what happened. Or the actuarial recommendations were ignored, again, as a way to provide some short-term budget relief. And, you know, think about it. We really have been going through an historically challenging time with what happened, you know, with the recession and the near collapse of the financial markets. So those states that were not well-funded going into that downturn, of course, they're going to have an even greater problem today. So I think one of the messages is when you have your actuarial recommendations and you know what your payments are, don't skip on them, because in the long run, when you come to a downturn like we're going through now, it's really going to leave you exposed. So you have states now, because they don't have the money, you know, to pay their benefits, they're really having to make some very extreme changes. Even here in New York 2 years ago, we started a new pension tier, which reduced benefits. As you pointed out, the governor's proposed some additional changes. But I do think the essential point is that a defined benefit plan is a much smarter, a more cost-effective way to provide retirement security for retired workers.
But you know, some of the states that maybe dipped into their pension funds would say, and state officials have been saying, that they overpromised, that they had to give too much to the defined benefit plans, and that they're too expensive. One of your claims, which is sort of eyebrow-raising, is you think that's a myth, and you say, in fact, defined benefit plans cost 46% less than individual 401k-style savings accounts.
When you take a pool of capital, you professionally manage it and invest it, it's a much more efficient way to provide the benefit than if you say to folks, put in your money, we'll match it with some money. People tend to not have the investment expertise, so when you start adding in the fees...
You say people investing in their own 401ks pay higher fees, for instance, so you're factoring that in.
Yeah, and then, you know, some people will then go to financial planners to get advice on where to put their money if they're in a, you know, a 401k style defined contribution plan. It's going to cost more money, you know, from that perspective. Also, if you're an individual, you're going to base your decisions on how to invest your money based on where you're at, age-wise, how close are you to retirement, and you may not be able to maximize the opportunities that are in the marketplace. When you're part of a defined benefit plan and money's being managed for a whole pool of people that constantly has people at all ends of the age spectrum and retirement spectrum, you can take advantage of market opportunities. And the other piece, of course, is that We all think we're going to live forever, especially when we read the studies, everybody's living longer. So as an individual, you will target your investment strategy on an assumption you're going to live to your 90s. The reality is that not everybody's going to live that long, and money through a defined benefit plan that's being managed can base it on the reality of the mortality of the membership. All of that results in higher investment return, a more efficient way to deploy the capital, less administrative costs as well. So it's more efficient, and at the end of it, you get a more secure benefit as well.
Okay, well, let's take a couple things here. As far as the affordability, you say you have some stats to back up your sense that at least for the state, you know, how much the state puts into defined benefits, it's not that big a percentage of state spending. What are those stats?
You know, it's around 2.7% of the state operating funds. So certainly it's higher than it's been. But again, we have to keep in mind, much of the spike that we're going through right now has to do with the market loss in 08 and 09. So I think we need to keep that perspective in mind, and we need to look at the benefits of having people with a secure retirement. You know, in New York, close to 80% of our retirees stay in New York State. They don't move to Florida or other states that may be less expensive, because that pension makes a difference between them staying here, paying their bills, paying their taxes, being part of the community. You know, so there's that opportunity to recycle into our economy statewide and in our regional economies. Those pension dollars get to stay in New York. That's part of fueling local economies as well.
And the dollars you put at an estimated $6.5 billion in spending, $9.5 billion in economic activity, $1.3 billion in property taxes. So you speak of these pension funds as if it's recycling money, you know, putting it back into the economy.
I think it's unfair to just look at it in terms of the cost. How much are the government employers, you know, paying? What is the return that we're getting back? We know that part of why our economy is still struggling is many people are afraid to spend because they're very uncertain about the future. Here we have a group of older New Yorkers, older Americans as well in other states, who have that security of having that pension. That gives them more confidence to not be afraid to be spending. And I think that's something to keep in mind. The fact that in the private sector there's been a move away from defined benefit, it doesn't mean that that's good. And that's why I do think there needs to be a larger national discussion. I'd like to see presidential level commission to really look at, first of all, with the public systems, what are the ones that are in trouble? What can we do to help them? The ones that aren't in trouble, what do we need to do? What are the best practices to keep them in strong shape? And then there really needs to be that larger discussion. What do we do about all those in the private sector that no longer have this kind of retirement security? And is there anything that the public plans can do to help in that area as well? Can we provide opportunities for small businesses, for individuals to be a part of these plans or to have some of their retirement money managed by plans that are successful? It's an interesting idea. It's worth study. But I think the issue of retirement security is one that we really need to have a national discussion about, not just leave it to each state kind of fighting over this current challenge of increases in rates that everybody's faced with.
New York Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli, who's been making the case for defined benefit pensions, traditional pensions managed by states with workers receiving a set amount of money in retirement. He says these are cheaper in the long run than the defined contribution plans like 401k programs, where the employee sets aside some money, which an employer may add to, but the employee manages it and retirement depends on what the market will bear. And Tom, critics of the defined plans, the traditional plans, say that these are taxpayer dollars. But we just heard workers are being asked more and more to put money in. But then there are the stories of the public workers making more in retirement than they make in salary. Address that.
I think it's rare that you have somebody that would make more upon retirement. You certainly had some extreme cases where there's been an abuse or there's been padding in the final years of working, and where, you know, if you have, let's say, a significant amount of overtime, and then you end up with a pension that may be higher than what your base salary would have been. But, you know, in New York, we've already taken some steps to control that. In the new tier, there's now a cap on how much overtime can be applied to your final average salary, and part of the governor's proposal is to reduce that even further. So, you know, I think there are ways to deal with that. I think we have to, again, face the reality of the numbers. For the New York system that I administer, less than 0.5% of the pension payouts are six figures or higher, 100,000 or more. 76% of the pensions are 30,000 or less. the average pension, excluding police and fire, which are higher, but the average pension for the 94% of the workforce is about $19,150. You know, those are core middle-class working folks, the backbone of our communities, and we need to keep their interests in mind and not just make decisions looking at the extreme cases where perhaps there's been an abuse.
What about fairness, though? I mean, if you mentioned how private employment has gone to these 401ks, and there are people who say those workers had to take risks, public workers should as well. You know, you have your critics. The New York Post editorialized that the New York State Employee Union supported you when you ran for office and that you are now supporting them by so defending defined benefit plans. And they go on to ask, why shouldn't state employees be on the same kind of plan most people in the workplace have and take the same kinds of risks?
First of all, public employees are different than private sector, and these kinds of pensions have been part of the workplace arrangement for a long period of time, and that's often why people have chosen to be in public service. And let's keep in mind, the kind of pensions that we're talking about, you have to work usually decades, you know, 20, 25, 30 years to get, you know, a pension of some value or some significance. And I believe strongly in the defined benefit plan. I believe that before I was a controller, and certainly as a controller, and I think, you know, in a democratic society, if people that agree with me want to support me, there's nothing wrong with that. That was my belief, you know, before I ran for this office. And that's because if you don't have people with retirement security, and we saw that in this recent downturn. Think of all the people that had the 401ks that were about to retire and the value got wiped out as part of the recession and the market collapse. And they're still working. They haven't been able to retire. Think of those who had retired, but they only had a 401k. How many stories were there of seniors in their 70s and 80s having to go back to work for minimum wage jobs just to find the money to be able to put food on the table or to continue to pay their rent? Ultimately, it becomes a societal obligation. If we have a growing class of people that do not have retirement security and are not able to provide for themselves, where are they going to go ultimately? I would suggest a large percentage of them are going to come back to the government for assistance. That ultimately becomes a taxpayer expense as well. Why not avoid some of those costs by keeping this level of retirement security? And I would say what we shouldn't do is a race to the bottom. If there are too many workers in the private sector that don't have retirement security anymore, the answer is not to jeopardize that for those that have it. 401ks, those style savings accounts, were meant to be a supplement and part of a picture of retirement security, including a pension. They were really never intended initially to substitute, you know, for a pension.
Well, the Motley Fool, which is that financial services company, they agree with you on defined benefit pensions. They say they make money available for investing, but also they guarantee an income, as you said, that retirees will then spend into the economy. But Governor Cuomo isn't suggesting getting rid of them. He's just saying, you know, make a choice so that new workers, new public workers can choose between the 401ks and the defined benefit.
You know, the fact that it's a choice doesn't make it a, you know, a good choice. My fear is you're going to have many people opting into a defined contribution plan, assuming that they're only going to be working for a couple of years for the state. You know, I know how I was in my 20s. Who ever thought you'd work in any one place for any period of time? And once you opt in, you know, that's it. That's your choice. You're locked into it. I really think that any way you look at it, having that defined benefit plan and a strong one is still a smarter choice for people.
But then what happens? Because as the New York Daily News writes, even you warned a couple months ago that New York taxpayers will have to put 19% of public payroll costs into pensions, a 50% increase in 2 years. And you're just now meeting the, as you say, the bulge of retirement age workers. How do you handle that?
Yeah, and I think their numbers might be referring to the city system, not to our state one. Again, we view this as a short-term issue and a short-term problem. Certainly, we've been trying to work with local governments, suggest ways that they can control their pension costs in terms of how they handle issues of overtime and work schedules. But you have to look at the history and the trends. We've had ups and downs on the contribution rates historically. This is not brand new. I think the challenge for today is that it was such a severe market loss in 08 and 09. We've had a significant increase in the rates at a time that state government aid to local governments has been cut back. Federal aid is, you know, is obviously not what everybody would like. So it's all these combination of pressures. But I don't think we should use that as a reason to say we're going to destroy what's been a very strong part of the fabric in New York State, and that's to have a well-funded and, I think, for our state's economy, very helpful defined benefit plan that's given retirement security to many, many New York families. And I think it's something for us to not be so quick to throw by the wayside right now.
New York State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli saying, as you just did, sort of don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Keep defined pension programs for public workers. Comptroller DiNapoli, thanks so much.
Nice to talk with you.